morning. I'm going to start out by asking and answering three questions. And those questions are, who are you? And what are you doing here? And what's the sermon about? So first of all, by way of introduction, this is the first time I've met with so many of you. And I have a picture of my family. And you know, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. So just imagine how much time we'll save. And so upper left, that's my family at Christmas. Me, you can hardly see her, but just below me is Kathy, my beloved wife, Joel and Jonathan and family. And down there, my three sons, Joel and Sean and Jonathan, taken a little while ago. And we live in Linwood. I want to tell you about my wife, Kathy. She was planning to be here, but she has the flu this morning. But you know, you can read all about her in the Bible. Yes, that's right, the last chapter of Proverbs. Do you know what that is? The last chapter, it's like a poem in honor of a good wife. So that's Kathy. The only thing they left out is how much fun she is. And once in a while, she'll say crazy things. And if we get to know each other better, maybe I'll tell you about those things. But my wife, Kathy, is just great. So that's my family. That's me. All my professional life, I'll let you know that more as time goes on. What am I doing here? Well, I am a trained intentional interim. And if you think back to when Pastor Chris felt called to another position here, that would have normally led to calling another pastor until the district president says, you should think about an intentional interim. Evidently, by the vote last Sunday, pretty much you all agreed. So that's my work. And so that I can read the room, raise your hand if you know what an intentional interim does, pretty much. Yes, most, not all. So I've thought of you guys, and there's a brochure out there. It's really quick, and it's on that table over there. So if you want to know more about what we do, we help a church get ready for calling the next pastor so the next pastor isn't an interim. And believe me, that happens more than you know, that you call somebody and doesn't work out. So we are trained to make sure that by the time we make that call, we're confident that the person we're calling is a good match. And I have a really good record with that, although credit goes to God. But that's what I'm doing here. And finally, now the sermon. It's about time, right? No, I want to be brief. Sermon. We're on this wonderful Hebrews sermon series. Pretty cool, right? There it is, Hebrews. And because you have this online, I was able to listen to those previous sermons by Chris and Jake. And they're, of course, you know, you have great pastors. And they're already doing a great job of explaining the book and the idea and how important it is for us to understand that Jesus came as a sacrifice. You just read this chapter. And so what I'm going to do in my sermon is instead of doing a Bible study through this chapter, I'm going to take one idea, just one idea, and here's my sermon title. Jesus knows you. Jesus knows you, and that's a good thing. So that's my sermon title, and if you have your Bibles handy, you can follow the one text for this is the second verse. I'm going to read it. You can either read it with me, or I'll read it for you, and here is that verse. Verse 2, he is able to deal gently, this is my translation, since he himself is subject to weakness. What does that mean? Jesus was true God and true man. So Jesus knows us. So in the next few minutes, I'm going to dig deeper, and so you can follow. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say. Here's 3 points. Number one, that's a good thing. Number two, he's been there. And number three, closer is better. It's a good thing. He's been there. And closer is better. And this isn't a sermon about every aspect of Christianity. I just want to give you in our time together something valuable, precious, fresh, interesting, and helpful, which is an understanding a little deeper of that amazing thing, which is our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus knows us because he was just like us. So the first thing I want to talk about up front, I guess I would feel like this is a little bit of a disclaimer. What do I mean? If you hear that somebody knows you, you may not necessarily think that's a good thing, right? In certain cultures, have you heard this? You don't know me! What does that mean? Maybe they do. You don't know me! That's our shield, our protection. And I will tell you that I grew up in a small town called Concordia, Missouri. I grew up on a farm, Concordia, Missouri. There's quite a cultural difference between Federal Way and Concordia. And what would some of those be? One is, here, if you meet somebody on the street, you're pretty sure you're never going to see that person again. You don't say hi. In Concordia, Missouri, everybody knows you. Not even that. If you're driving down a country road, as I did, on a pickup, and there's a stranger, you're going to wave to him anyway, because he just might be somebody, you know, that it's somebody's cousin. You know what I mean? Everybody says hi to people in Concordia, Missouri, because everybody knows everybody. And what's my point? That's a significant social impact on bad or stupid behavior. Because, I like this, you're a step ahead of me, right? Because if you ever do anything really dumb or really stupid, they'll talk about it for generations. Why? Because there's nothing else to do in Concordia, Missouri. And they know you. So this disclaimer, I want you to think about that and sort of get over that hump, because not necessarily if I told you Jesus knows you and went on, I'm going to stop and let that sink in. It's a good thing. Why? Why is it a good thing? Well, imagine this as an analogy. Imagine your favorite rock group or performer, and after the performance, you have a backstage pass and you get to get in because they know you. Imagine hypothetically that you wanted to go to the White House. If the president knew you, that would be a good thing. Anybody important or powerful, if they know you, that's a good thing. Nobody's more important or powerful than God, and God knows you, and that's a good thing because your friendship with God is based on his goodwill toward you. I have to talk about that a little bit because let me think. Have you yourself ever thought about God as a judging God? Has that ever happened to you? I'm pretty sure all of us in this room have one time or another. Certainly we know people, oh, I don't like God. He's a judger. Well, there are those Ten Commandments. But the incredible thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, it defines Christianity. Not all Christians understand that. There is no other message, no other religion, no other message like Christianity in the history of humanity, because the message of Christianity is God loves you. God knows you and he loves you anyway. That's the gospel. So enough of that. It's a good thing. Second point, he's been there. I know you probably thought of this before. Yeah, I know he's true God, true man. I passed my class. I'm in. I get that. But let me just think about that a little bit. Talking about being at a place is different than actually being there. If you read about Paris in the springtime or watched a movie, that probably wouldn't be the same as being in Paris in the springtime. An example for me would be Alaska. I lived in Alaska for 2 years, serving Anchorage Lutheran Church near downtown. So reading about Anchorage is not the same as being there. I came there before my wife did. She wasn't so sure, but I told her, no, there's Starbucks, there's Nordstrom's, it's fine. Okay, I'll come. No, not really. Amazing thing about Anchorage is there's moose, and they're really bigger than you think, and they go downtown anywhere they want. Nobody messes with the mooses. Funny thing about sunrise and sunset, that, you know, everywhere I've gone, it's always dark at night. except in Alaska in the summertime. So being there is different. And that's the thing about Jesus and us. He's been there. So what does that mean? Let me have you think about what it's like when you feel pain. Jesus has been there. When you feel embarrassment, Jesus has been there. When you're absolutely frustrated and depressed out of your mind, Jesus has been there. Jesus has been there. But he's also been there. I want you to think about the widest range of human emotions possible. The most pain you've ever experienced in your life. The most joy you've ever experienced in your life. Jesus has been there with you in all of that. He knows what that's like. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane when he was sweating blood? Man, Jesus has been there. So what difference does that make? Jesus with us, I use the phrase battlefield comrades. I've talked to people who are veterans of World War II, maybe you are too, and you've been through that experience. I'm talking with Todd last week, so he's been with this group up with people for 3 years. You have the reunion, you've been through so much. Yeah, I just had a reunion of my 50th year junior college class in Concordia, Missouri. You know, you've been through stuff. Battlefield comrades is a term for it. But my point is, I want you to think about your relationship with Jesus, what it means, and have you understand just how close that relationship is. Which brings me to my third point. Closer is better. You might say, well, of course, but think with me for a minute. That's not the world that we live in. That's not the culture that we live in today. And the world that we live in, we have protection. We lock our doors. Kathy and I just bought a new house a half a year ago, so we got a security system. When we talk to people, we don't show our cards normally. We want to be protected. Sometimes people use words as a protection. Have you ever seen that? I just realized that a few years ago. It's so interesting. If somebody talks all the time, it's like a protection. You can't get through it. There's no exchange. There's no curiosity. Aren't you curious about me at all? No, let me tell you more about me. You know, words, actually, so-called communication can be the opposite of communication. My point is, that's the world we live in. Did you also know, you probably did, there's a research that shows that teenagers would rather text than talk. And you think about that and rather say, oh, you know, that's a different culture. The reason for that is it's easier. Texting is easier than communication because you don't have to spend your time listening to somebody else. You just tell them what you think. And then, you know, the listening part is a lot quicker. It sounds like a bad thing, but if you think about it, there's a reason for it. So what's my point? My point is I want you to rethink your way of thinking about relationships and understand that closer is better. I'm talking about our relationships and eventually our relationship with Jesus. Closer is better. And what about that? You may know I was a consultant to churches for about a decade. So had a large consulting company. I was hired by churches in 5 time zones, so I've been around a little bit. One day I realized as I was watching people talk that the model for Christian exchange is to be transparent, which is the opposite of the world. So among strangers, it might be a good idea to protect yourself. But in a Christian family, that maybe that's one reason why it feels different to be in this place worshiping. Among Christians, ideally, let me speak personally. I've thought this through. My desire for you is that you can see through me. I don't want you to be protected from me. I want you to be able to see through me and even predict. My ideal relationship with you is that I'm so well known to you that you would say, oh, I know what Reinke's going to do next. Imagine that kind of vulnerability or openness or transparency. So all that comes down to, in a Christian family, Apostle Paul says we're the body of Christ, that we should be closer. Closer is better. And ultimately now, it makes sense, doesn't it? Makes sense? Ultimately, it applies now to our relationship with Jesus Christ. So when I hear Amy tell me about her daughter who had this amazing experience because of this trip, I think, wow, something happened in her heart then that changed her life. What an amazing thing. And then I think about the opportunity we have every day through Bible study and prayer and fellowship to have those same kinds of experiences as we open our lives to Jesus who knows us. So here's the wrap up. Think about, when you think about your relationship to Jesus, that it's a good thing that he's been there and closer is better. And the takeaway for you today, I hope I've mentioned enough things that you'll think about this through the day and through the week. Really give some thought this week to what is the nature of your relationship with Jesus, who knows you because he was one of us. And I say that we, all of us, need Jesus. This is the gospel. This is not telling you what you should do. This is telling you what God's already done for you. We need Jesus because through Jesus we have eternal life. Today we have eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, today we have forgiveness of our sins. Imagine that. God will give us a hug because he doesn't hold any of our stupid or bad things against us. Today we have, through Christ, forgiveness forever. Today we have something more precious than winning the lottery. Today we have a close bond with a God who loves us through Jesus Christ. That's life-changing. So today our message is, Jesus knows you, and that's a good thing. Amen. Would you join me as you sit in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for knowing us just the way we are and loving us anyway. For your love, God, we thank you. Help us to share that with others. In Jesus' name. Amen.